the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the living fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us today. Amen. With that prayer towards God that through His Spirit He would continue to make His word alive to us, I shall read from Romans chapter 1, a familiar words of God, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Dear travel friends, brothers and sisters, very feeling empty and sinful, full of doubts, I am before you, and I want to right at first ask that, can I believe my doubts and temptations and all sins forgiven? I want to believe together with God's children. We have already for many days been able to be at the Vasta summer services at the hearing of God's word, and the Bible has very in many diverse ways through the Holy Spirit been revealed unto us, and on behalf of someone who a servant of the word, it seems that everything has been said, everything, all the central things have been said many times from here before. And now when we have the practice that we ministers announce our sermon text beforehand to the organizers of the services, at least it seemed to me that if now, at this moment, I would choose a text, it might not be the one that I have announced to the sacristy weeks ago, but we want to trust that the Heavenly Father will reveal that which He sees fit from this familiar and from a portion of the Bible that has already been spoken from. If you permit, I would like to look a little into the review, into the rear view mirror to look at, to remember the summer services that were in Ypperi. And my home Zion was in charge of organizing it, the services. And you no doubt remember, and some of you might have on the inside, glued on the inside of your hymn book, the last year's summer service motto. The motto was, I will announce unto you a great joy. This is from the familiar Christmas Gospel of St. Luke, and it's the central word of God from the New Testament, the angel's proclamation on the first Christmas to the shepherds in the meadow, whom God had chosen as the recipients of this message, a proclamation that God had fulfilled through the promises given through the prophets, and a Savior had been born into the world, the Son of God, who was born to in simple and modest surroundings, even though He was and is the King of heaven and earth. Perhaps someone remembers that when the chairman of the organizing committee, in his greeting, he shortly presented the motto of the services and the history through which this motto had been chosen to be the motto of Ypperi summer services. He stated that hopefully all of you summer service guests will be able to experience the same as the shepherds in the meadow, of whom Luke also relates that they returned rejoicing at which they had seen and heard, and everything was just as they had been told. They had not been fooled or tricked or led astray, nor been given false information. God, through his angels, had given this proclamation, but they had been able to experience around the baby Jesus that this is truly the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who had come into this world as the prophets had prophesied for one reason: to atone to redeem all of the children of God, to be with God. And no doubt all of you, brothers and sisters, when you remember the trip to summer services a year ago and the departure from the service site, you were satisfied and joyful, and you thanked the Heavenly Father that you had been able to experience at summer services God's grace, the generosity of God's grace, and the love of the Heavenly Father, and what the Bible tells us of the characteristics of that they are righteousness and joy and peace with the Holy Spirit. And this joy has continued even in between these summer services, and it's continued at summer services in Vasa, where God has served us through his word, and through many discussions has served us and strengthened yet again our faith on this narrow way of life along which we want to endeavor as children of God. We have heard, just as the chairman of the SRK in his greeting said, comfort and instructions and grace, the words of these. The gospel has rung out here and hopefully during my sermon it will ring out again, that you, brother and sister, for the situation of your own life and life situation, you can get water from the spring of blessing, and you can believe the simple gospel of God's kingdom: sins and travel, faults and doubts and temptations forgiven, in the name and holy atonement blood of our Lord Jesus. This book of Romans has been read from many times, as it is often read from during summer services. I have the so-called registry Bible with me, a reference Bible, which contains the prologue written by Martin Luther, which tells about what will follow in the book of Romans. And Luther writes, this epistle is the main chapter of the New Testament and the clearest gospel. And then he tells of how important it would be that each Christian would remember this book of Romans by heart, every word by heart, and would practice in his everyday life as we practice eating bread every day. This tells of what great grace or value Martin Luther gave to this book of Romans, as he did to all of God's Word. We also remember, and which we have often heard at services and even learned at school, the Lutheran Reformation, how the Bible was one of two of Luther's principles with which he battled against the works of the church at that time, because he understood that it had been far removed from what it should be. The Bible was no longer held in the correct esteem which the Bible itself defines it to be. It is the holy word of God, and it has been written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and have written what they received from God. The Bible, even for us believers, is not just any book or a collection of books even, but it is a special book, a special collection of sacred writings, which God Himself has caused to be written through His Holy Spirit, and intended that this Bible would be preached and explained upon this earth for as long as it is God's will, for as long as God's work is performed upon this earth, knowing that there will come a time when it's no longer possible to do this work. The Bible has predicted this. And in explaining the Bible, it's important for us to remember what in the last page of the Bible, in the book of Revelations, but everyone who listens to the words of the prophet, if someone were to add, then God will put upon him the plagues which have been written in this Bible, and some of the takes away from the books of this prophet, God will take his name away from the book of life and what have been written in this book. With this seriousness and this attitude, we believers of this time, this is how we relate to God's holy word. It is given for our instruction, and it is all important and precious, holy, and given by God. And these words of God, we have been able to be at summer services for many days, and as listeners, probably asked in our minds from the Heavenly Father that He would give words. Many of us servants of the Word have said how fearful we are. This human side of us, that we are fearful that we would be able to explain God's holy word correctly, that we would not explain it in a new and in a way that is foreign to believers, but according to how the Holy Spirit reveals unto us. We servants of the word have many so-called temptations of ministers. One is that right before we are to serve, it seems that we should say something that others have not realized to say, even though it'd be most important to think and to act in such a way that we would not bring anything new to the altar of the Lord, as it says in the Bible, but that everything would be the former and familiar, unchanging word. God's word does not change, and as we read, people do not even have permission to change it or take anything away from it or add anything to it, anything that doesn't belong. The Apostle Paul's, we remember the Apostle Paul's personal history very well. He became the apostle of the pagans or heathens, even though he had battled against in unbelief, unknowingly against God's kingdom, and received permission from the authorities of that time to imprison believers. But the amazing nature of God's word, and that it's in His hands, we see this very clearly in Paul's personal history, when God stepped in, interrupted Saul's life, as he was then called, and stopped him on the road leading to Damascus, struck him with blindness, so that he was both temporally and spiritually blind. But he also gave him instructions on how he could become a child of God, and it sounds very familiar to us, Saul's or Paul's conversion, because it has been written in the Bible, and we have often heard it explained. God did not justify or make Saul of Tarsus righteous on the road straight from heaven, just the two of them, but rather he led him to believers before those who had been become believers before, who then proclaimed unto Saul the gospel of according to Christ, this gospel which Paul at the beginning of the book of Romans in the red portions that we read earlier has been beautifully written. Before this text portion of Paul has expressed his desire and yearning to be in the midst of other believers and to be and to receive comfort, which we have between you and between me. This is a very familiar thought and experience, that we desire to be in the midst of believers, to be escorted by the people, the nation of God. No doubt many outsider has at these services been amazed at how in the cars driving in the rain and campers in long lines, they are coming to summer services. It seems that nobody is listening to the weather forecasts, or at least don't care about them, even if they were to listen to them. There's no point to go with large families, with small children, to those kinds of natural surroundings and conditions where a normal person would not go if he could stay away. If someone has asked you as a child of God, what brings you to summer services when it's cold or raining, you have thought, you in your mind has been the same thought as the Apostle Paul, that you want to be in the midst of other children of God, in the middle of other children of God. And as Paul also, who Paul had this prayer and request towards God, that I could hear be comforted through the faith which we as children of God have. And at these services, God has comforted through his word. Several have knelt at the Lord's Holy Supper in these visible communion and the words of forgiveness received comfort for their own part, that they would have the strength to continue to endeavor so that one day we could enter from faith to seeing. God has comforted us services, and we can think that he will not take away his blessing, but will continue it until the end of services and even on our home journey home, so that we can experience as the shepherds experienced. We received what we searched for and what we asked for. The Heavenly Father strengthened our faith through his word and his sacraments. When Paul has written these before his text, that he has this desire, and that he is also indebted to proclaim the gospel, then he says these words, which we read from the text, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." No doubt many reader of the Bible and who have listened to explanations of the Bible have stopped to think of, to consider this word ashamed. The fact that Paul uses this word, precisely this word, probably is related to his personal life. He had been a Pharisee in the midst of the Pharisees. He had considered to be crazy, as he has written before, this sort of a religion or faith without deeds and righteousness of deeds, people try to be acceptable unto God. He had battled against this kind of idea of faith very strongly, as we remembered earlier. And when God had helped him to grace, and through grace he had been able to believe, he had been able to believe this false godliness forgiven and all sins forgiven. And as this, in this way, being made sin as a sinful person, he had been able to leave from the correct place, as Luther has instructed us, to become righteous. This gospel was especially precious to him and important. And the same sort of through the same sort of experience, the reformer of our faith, Martin Luther, where he strongly emphasized the value of the Book of Romans. We have heard much about Martin Luther at services and about his history. He went through the same sort of stages as Paul. Luther served in a monastery as a monk and tried to, through good deeds, earn righteousness that would be acceptable before God, and felt that it was hopeless. The Bible tells about many individual events from Luther's life. For instance, once when he shouted three times in a loud voice in the distress of sin, "My sins, my sins, my great sins." And in the monastery of that time, he was in the church, he was instructed with different methods, as we could in a friendly mind say, different ways to act in such a way that this feeling of sin would have disappeared from inside him, and then he would have been freed from it and to have peace with God. These methods Luther had in his ecclesiastical life: prayer, attending communion, going to services, and performing good deeds. And it's even said that sometimes he would prick his body with needles, so that feeling this pain, his agonies of conscience would have abated. And all this was in vain. God did not answer with peace, did not answer his conscience with peace, until came this man who lived in simplicity and brought it with him, and stayed the night at the same monastery where Luther was serving, and when he discussed with Luther, he told him that you won't receive peace with God doing that. You will only receive it by believing the gospel, by believing the words of forgiveness for your own part. And when Luther was blessed with this precious gospel and it was preached to him, he was able to experience that he received redemption and peace with God. And when he read the Bible, especially first chapter of Romans, it was revealed to him that this is where it is. It is told clearly what the gospel is. It is the power of God for everyone, for the redemption of everyone who believes in it, for all people. As it has been said many times at these services, if there would be listening to these words or around different media who have not believed it for their own part, but has searched for it, that this means everybody who hear these words and sermons, precisely you who have perhaps pondered about how you can receive atonement with God, however you have searched for this peace and atonement with God, you best know how, but nevertheless, you have on along the way experienced that you have not received peace, but your accusing conscience has told you that you have sin, which separates you from God and God's kingdom. And for this reason, that during these sermons, we over and over again offer the gospel to everyone to believe, even those who have not earlier previously believed it, so that God could search from among people a person whom conscience has awakened. For it is God's will that no one would perish, but that everyone would turn himself to repentance, as we know the apostles to have proclaimed during their time. This word "finish" in Finnish, that means ashamed, leads our thoughts no to thinking of that. Have I ever been ashamed of the gospel? Have I sometimes been ashamed that I am a child of God, that I am a believer? At least I have to, for my own part, admit and confess that many times there have been occasions when I wouldn't have wanted to confess my faith audibly. There have been unbelievers around me who, in some way, who have been familiar and who I have respected and who have even known that I am a child of God. But despite that, it's been difficult for me to say it out loud and confess it. I have a personal memory that has to do with this first verse, which I will shortly tell. I was studying in Helsinki, and in Helsinki, in a certain congregation, a fairly old man died who had lived in my home town, but then in old age had moved to the capital city region with his wife. And when I heard about his death, my mother and father told me that I should go to the funeral to represent our family, because it was a family friend. And so I went, and there was a small memorial service in the home, and there were several ministers present. An old vicar who had interred him and several other acquaintances, they all kept short speeches, and some of them said that shouldn't this student keep a devotion? And it came like a bolt of lightning from the clear blue sky. This place where this old man had been praised and escorted to heaven, and I thought that this minister said that this man had made it to heaven because he had lived near the church. This is how he had how he had justified it. He used this beautiful saying that the church crosses lit up his home. And I, as a believer, of course, was in distress when I was put to made to speak that what could I say, how could I say that you can't go to heaven just because you live near the church? What about those who live many kilometers away from the church and don't have a line of sight to the church crosses? And I battled I struggled with this during the hymn, and I told of some shared memories when I had even worked with this deceased man in his telephone center at that time, call center. I had worked for him, and I tried to remember these, and but I was not able to say the most important thing of how a person becomes is saved. And I mo went by w left there by bus and went to the services at the Helsinki RYM, and I opened the door, and the minister was reading was read this verse for his service text: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. I walked straight into the sacristy, and there was Pentikopsa, a brother to whom I told my distress and my neglect and sorrow that God had already at the door told me when I walked in the door that this is what happened, and this shame and failure was preached, forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. If there is with me someone, another believer, who has similar experiences from their place of study or workplace or with their friends or family, they have not always had the strength to confess their faith out loud, even though they have with their lives. And if you have struggled in your mind with this matter, you can now believe your neglects and failures forgiven in the name and holy blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's also important for us believers to notice that the gospel is the power of God. It's familiar to us, this sense of, or this lack of, this powerlessness when we live and endeavor as a child of God. God allows us to have experienced times when the destination is far away, as according to the words of the hymn. A child of God begins to doubt his faith and to doubt whether, am I even a believer? This is expressed in when we ask for the gospel during services. Believers say, can I believe? May I believe? And this, there is in the background this thought that, do I have permission? You can even ask that, do I have permission to believe? In the midst of our everyday struggles, we have begun to doubt that this permission has been taken away. This possibility has been taken away. I have wasted God's grace so much, stumbled in my struggle, that God will no longer take me back into his grace or hold me in esteem, but will send me out of his kingdom. Even when we have doubts and we have temporal sorrows, we should remember that the gospel is the power of God. Often we ask for it when there have been accidents or sins, mistakes, something that presses down on our minds. But we could ask for it also when we feel ourselves to be powerless and doubt whether we are children of God or correctly believing anymore. And the apostle explained in the second verse that we read why it is the power of God. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is a reference to the book of Habakkuk, which is a prophetic book, which is not often read at services. There are only three short chapters. And the biblical history tells us that the prophet Habakkuk was a servant of God during the king Josiah. Josiah was a believer who became ruler as a young person, but he did many new things. Also in the Bible it tells of during the time of the unbelieving gods, the service at the temple was very far away from what God had intended. And then when they were renovating the temple, they found a scroll which was brought to the king to see. He asked a certain believing prophet for advice on what this book is, and it was stated that it is the word of God. The people had forgotten it, so it had been left to collect dust in the church, and the people no longer was living according to how God had desired it. Isn't there something familiar for us who live in this time, which some people who are part of the church might live, that we make decisions by voting and not by asking what is God's will? And even though we would ask and study, that we don't do according to God's will. For the people of Israel, this disobedience led to the captivity in Babylon. And Habakkuk writes in the Bible that he prayed to God and told the people that even though there would come difficult times, God will give salvation. According to the prophet, God instructed the people to be patient. And so we, dear child of God, children of God, the word of God encourages us to be patient in faith, despite all of these phenomena that might be around us in this world and near us even. We only need to take strength from the gospel, which is the power of God. One of the discoveries of Luther, the reformer of our faith, to put it briefly, God redeems a person solely through grace, solely through the merit of Jesus. And the word God, the word alone, does not mean that solitary, but it means the same as simply by faith and only through grace and solely through the merit of Christ. Just think, dear travel friend, how low God has descended his mercy, his gift of mercy and grace, when you don't have to have any merits yourself, but just as you are, feeling sinful and unsuccessful, you can grab these words of promise that have been transmitted by the prophet. Only through this does God redeem a sinful person, and God wants that even such a listener who has not taken the opportunity before would be encouraged to grab this when the unconditional gospel is preached in the name and holy atonement blood of Jesus Christ, when all sins are believed forgiven, so that God, through this power of the gospel, would be able to cleanse a person's heart so that it would be completely clean with human deeds and human merits and human strength. It is not possible to do this, but God, through the power of the gospel, can do it. And you, brother and sister, even you can be of good comfort. We have been comforted here with God's word and with songs and hymns of how God's nation or people are traveling, journeying towards heaven. We have been reminded of how we are not believing for just this time in this world, but we are believing because so that we could reach heaven's home. I also have before this have received text messages before I came to serve from believers who have told me what their lives are like, what sorrows they have in their lives and their endeavor, and they have wished that they would be remembered here at summer services, as we have done. We have read many prayers of intercession, and not all have even dared to ask them, but some have sent different sorts of messages. A child of God's journey may be made difficult by many things, different crises or conflicts of life in terms of human relationships between families and acquaintances, difficulty in one's place of study or workplace, and whatever else they may be, we can call all of them things that make our minds sorrowful in the midst of our everyday struggles, and perhaps even cause our eyes to tear up when we feel our own powerlessness to change these matters. Yesterday evening during communion, we sang the old familiar song of Zion, the crystal clear sea of mercy, and I looked from the hymn book when I read it, how beautifully the songwriter has first put into words the joy of a child of God. Be joyful, child of God, your sins have been forgiven, the demanding law has been fulfilled, and then at the end, the bride will receive a crown on her head when she goes before the bridegroom. Her breast does not feel any sorrow, and there are no tears to be seen. Dear travel friend, take these words of the hymn as your own. We are traveling as children of God towards this sort of a day and a moment that we will no longer remember that we were once at war here. We don't remember that there were sorrows during our journey and our eyes were filled with tears. But a child of God will be able to rejoice forever of this joy and mercy which he has been able to believe for himself, and remain travel friend believing securely. Sins and temptations and doubts and all sorrows and in Jesus' name and blood forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Dear brothers and sisters, you have permission to believe. You have permission to believe sins and doubts and sorrows forgiven. God will come to take his own to heaven's home. And we remain waiting for this day and to endeavor in faith, trusting in the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of the God of we have just read. In Jesus' name, amen.